John McCabe playing pieces from Lambert's Clavichord by Herbert Howells. You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's 10 o'clock and it's time now for World Roots. This week, Lucy Duran returns to Madagascar for the first of two programmes. She's joined by the instrument maker and musician Paddy Bush.
Paddy, where we are right now is a town called Finaranzu. A difficult name to pronounce, I have to say, and it's not written like that, like a lot of Malagasy. But anyway, that's how it's pronounced, Finaranzu, and it's in the southern part of the central highlands, or the central plateau of Madagascar. We're right at the top of this very, very high town, overlooking the most glorious landscape.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Finaranzu means the city of learning, place of learning, seat of learning even. And it's true, the view here is really spectacular. You can see all these forest fires in the distance. When the sun goes down, they'll glow orange all night long.
Well, alas, the forest fires are, what, they're natural fires? Or
No, sadly not. They call it tavi. It's what we call slash and burn agriculture. It's not a very forward-looking agricultural activity because eventually the soil gets blown away and goes back to the rock. And this is one of the big, big problems with Madagascar. It's eroding at an unbelievably fast rate.
That's one of the really terrible things that's happening in Madagascar. But on the other hand, we're in a town where there's some fantastic music that you're going to introduce me to. So there must be something that's really special about this place that makes it possible for this wonderful music to exist.
Is it the place? Is it the people? Is it the people? Is it the place? There's an expression in Malagasy that refers to some kinds of traditional music as the music that grows out of the ground, implying that it's the place rather than the people. But for me, this is where my whole relationship with Madagascar actually started. Long time ago, when I was 19 years old, I first heard a piece of music that came from this area here.
From Finaranzu?
Yeah, it came from Finaranzu. When I first heard this, it sounded like music from the future and music from the ancient past, all mixed up together.
Paddy, as recording studios go, this is pretty wonderful. And we've just seen a snake. And there are not many recording studios, hopefully, where you will see snakes.
Yeah, with our own snakes. It's true, it's true. No, it's a beautiful place. We're surrounded by all these yucca plants and aloe veras and beautiful beech trees right up on the high hills outside Finaransi, looking down on the most incredible view. I think this is the nicest studio in the world, actually.
Well, of course, it's not really a studio at all. It's just a bit of a dirt road. And on one side is this sheer drop down to the town. And on the other side is the ridge where they cut the road into the hill.
It may be a dirt road, but it's got a really, really good sound.
Paddy, this must be very exciting and moving for you with these musicians, with the Betsilo, because that's your starting point, isn't it?
Yeah, it was my starting point. The first music I ever heard from Madagascar was played to me back in the 1970s by Gene Jenkins, the late, great Gene Jenkins, ethnomusicologist extraordinaire.
And
she was really something, wasn't she? The Betsilo people have a very different accent to the people from the rest of the highlands. And you can hear it when they pronounce the S's. They kind of make a lovely squashed sound. It's a little bit like if you were speaking English like this. Right. That's kind of the way they speak Malagasy.
I'll have to listen out for that now.
I love it. It's got such a fantastic quality to it. It's a really kind of sensuous kind of way of singing, you know?
Paddy, tell me about the group that we're listening to at the moment, Group ZMG.
The song we just heard is about the town itself. It's about Finaransi. And this is Maurice, and he's here with his own group, who are called Tarika ZMG. ZMG stands for the different names of the guys in the group.
And it also, he tells me, means Zareo Mikalo Gassi, which means the person who makes traditional music.
They love a pun here. Morris's speciality is playing the kabosi. It's like Madagascar's own special steel-strung guitar. Normally, it's not guitar-shaped, it's like a rectangular resonator to it. And they have a special fret arrangement on them, which allows them to play diatonically rather than chromatically. They leave out the semitones. It eliminates a lot of the complicated, tricky finger work that you'd have to play if the frets were arranged like a guitar in a chromatic kind of way. Huh? Which means you can walk or run if needed and play the instrument much, much more easily.
Paddy, this is the special instrument of this region, the one that first attracted you to the music of Madagascar, and we're about to hear the great master.
Yeah, this is Raprosi. His speciality is playing the dzedzvotar. When Raprosi first started playing this instrument, they used raffia strings on it, but it's evolved a long way since then. And now they use bicycle brake cable strings, like many of the instruments in Madagascar. Yeah, when I heard Raprosi last year, he just took my legs away from underneath me. It was just so, so beautiful. Puta talumia nagata ring sunrise tia bara sab salam tanga ki zakara puta kurata wangeri nyeri hari mangari nyeri ni nari mangari nyeri ni nam bimanga fana man keni yam fula vita fula kani dena tangi mer na nuna kani yam fula vita ta fukena ra charna rawana feru kena na tauni rano kura yeru funuana na ngala fangina ropina ka fani tungu sakuna la me na kani ta funga nuna fenuta varai va taruna la vinya ki velika isa vitu pitu rami mama nyam bingle
Mi mama nyaumbia pa mi mama tailepa manmanya fermanga ro fermanga tanga tetang chuturanu ngandran puribas buk nangan kanga teti tenda nom saufa sakapis ke mangara pukiko henri ke pel saulan pan fat kilau lau sua sami sufuma fuwa fat pani master namba uko Sami sivita heri taung warani funenga na rumanda sami mama nyumbingle. Panenga rau to fara tatu panai tarani rama ka kaina kar rama ka kanai tan rai kura fara lai. Shout a nav the mia tarafan shau kurume unia pela payalus and fari wateng. Hang out at nani natu panai takani rama ka ina kar rama ka kela marianga fara sifuam. Vita patem sananuta maria sinuna kui sanga sanga mekena pasanike kinukenda fui fanrafan. Pela raja sera maria farseya sakara kwang sandra. Pela raat fumaya fani lua sakas kwang sandra. Pela raja sera maria sayar sakara kwang yusi. Pela raat fumaya tanrifya ngau leki yuki suks. Anikia velu tanga bala mati pani tani pati tanga puti vala pata misen velu nga sau mati pam sa fratal pipasi mata tanga puti vala pani masa kapina isanga siena pam sa fratal pani mati kara sapa waniken kitan ringer rumanga ringan rif ser kuman ser ser fa umal peta puti e faliani luas Fitanga ruela ngan ranvan titar milau lawas Nset ruela natau natike ngaurun teinos Haskel matin tin tafinya na blena nga si Istanbul. Sana kul matin tin pite utia faman sana kuno.
What a wonderful moment here, high above the town of Finaransu in the south central plateau of Madagascar. That was one of the great musicians of this region, and his name is Raprosi. Raprosi, I'm really thrilled to meet you. And I've heard a lot about you from Paddy. So it's just wonderful to actually meet you and hear you play this instrument.
The song that
he's just played was called Satamina Bak, meaning a strong zebu with red horns.
A strong ox with red
horns. Ox with red horns.
You're obviously telling a story. You're saying a lot. What are you saying about this ox with the red horns?
This song is about the zebu, the ox, because the zebu has a particular significance here. He's saying that in many, many occasions, or when there are traditional celebrations, they use the zebu, the ox, as a sign of strength and as a treasure, because he's saying that even if there is death and whatever happens, they sacrifice the zebu and distribute it to everybody around.
Paddy, I have never seen this instrument except in photographs. It's my first time to see it in real life. Can you sort of describe it and explain how it works?
Yeah, it's a very old instrument. Fundamentally, it's a stick zither. It's a long rod of wood with a head on the top of it, like a guitar, that has four tuning pegs on one side and another four tuning pegs on the other side. And there's a slot cut through the centre of the head to allow the strings to come through on the plane where he's going to fret it. So it requires some fantastic coordination of the hand. We've got strings on two different planes, four strings which run over a series of very rudimentary frets that are literally fretted the same way you would fret a guitar. But down the side of the instrument, we have another four strings that are played with the thumb of the left hand, so almost like a zither. So it has a percussive accompaniment as well as a strummed technique. And also the instrument is held almost in an upside-down fashion to the way you would normally play a guitar. Then on the end of the instrument, where the strings tie on at the other end, there's a large calabash gourd with an open front on it, attached to it, so that the vibrations travel through the stick and into the calabash gourd, and it acts as a resonator, as it would be incredibly quiet without it.
It's just another example, isn't it, Paddy, of something that only exists here in Madagascar, like so much of the wildlife, like so much of the flora and fauna, like the language. It's just unique to this extraordinary island.
Yeah, Madagascar has had a very independent evolution. It broke away from the rest of the world about 127 million years ago, and it's been sailing up the Indian Ocean ever since. Raprosi is going to sing a song for us now called Therese Kelly, meaning Little Teresa. And it's a song about his first girlfriend and how he always thinks of her. I think this was one of the strong reasons behind me bursting into tears last year when I first heard this, because my first girlfriend was called Teresa too. And I've never stopped thinking about her either.
Aww.
Now for some bakel for mom, salani tate, selek salani and then Kalalias, kalalia, fitaptum kasisunia, panabatina tam rasalia, sarakamina utau sangatia, hablan bai nunun raja ranina saza kelina upar bumbo farpektoruno. Son manau fez guler usted manahalaka simput kumaitan sampunne pela sesan men bula kuna ngarakara kapitu berman tut santam hela kala karamantat fan sun dengan tuaran felunga maretan panambat ni pitu buker sai life belunga ramantat saya fernan ker sun som sau len fat sanga saknan kem tu fom sau rauno tresingre Kakel paung bat kin tangkel kita fukon awar sambakel pari mam shal ni tatel serak shal ni anzel kalaliat kalalia bara fitab tum kasi junia pana batina tam dasalia sara kami na watak sangatia habilan bay nunun raja ran yana sa sakel inger pumbo sar pektor Mati pani tani pati tanga puti fala pata misun belu masau mati pam sabra tal pipasi mata tanga puti fala pani masa kapina isang asienan pam sabra tala pani mati kerasa bawan ken kita ringa rumah ngarinya neri seru kuman seru seri papa umal peta puti valian luas Fita ngaruela ngan ranfan titar milau lawas Nses ruela natau natikya ngaurun tainwas Haskel matin tin trafnya na blena ngas Istanbul Sana kul matin tin pite utiefa man sana kuno
Paddy, you brought me to this marketplace in Fianaranzu for a very special reason, which we'll come to in a minute. But as we've come up to the market, right in front of us is a van packed with people, and on top of the van is, well, you tell me, it's a corpse.
Yeah, that's right. They're flying flags on the top of their van, which normally indicates that there are some bodies there being taken to an exhumation ceremony.
So they're on their way to a famadien, to the exhumation.
That's right.
So, or they've been exhumed.
Yeah, or they've been
exhumed. They've been exhumed.
And then, they may well be travelling an enormous distance. They could be changing tombs. There could be all sorts of reasons for it.
Having walked through this market that has just absolutely everything to sell, from locally made handicrafts to Chinese tat to homemade mousetraps, we finally got to the part of the market that has brought us here in the first place. These are the stalls that sell the so-called fana food, which are the medicines.
There's a bottle over there with some very strange insects crawling around inside it.
We'll have to ask
Sarah to translate what that's about.
Fana food, anything?
In the same bottle, little black beetles with white spots on them. Great big locusts who are jet black with orange and white markings on the outside of these. And both of these are supposed to be burnt and turned into ash. The locusts, when you rub the ash into your gums, are supposed to stop toothache. And they do, I'm sure. You know? Because many insects here, like the huge millipede in James's room the other night.
James, the producer.
Yeah.
Walked into his bathroom and found this enormous millipede.
He referred to it as a snake with legs. And it was. It's very big. But they have incredible chemicals inside them. Right? I mean, really extraordinary. And they can be very, toxic. And if it touches your skin, that you'll get terrible black markings. You get a kind of necrotizing of the skin. It's not at all good.
God.
However,
I'm glad he killed it.
Exactly. But if you kill these things and burn them and put them in your mouth, they kill tooth pain. Huh? But also, the lemurs use these things for getting high.
No,
it's unbelievable.
What?
Huh? They pick these things up, right, and they rub them between their hands to traumatize the millipede, right?
Yes.
And the millipede starts spraying out all this weird chemical stuff.
Junk.
Right? And then they rub it all over their chests and armpits, right, and they get out of their brains. You see their eyes cloud over and go red. They just lie back and let these things drop and sit there staring into space, completely out of their brains. Okay, this is like an aphrodisiac type.
This kind of green twig which is twined around itself.
It's like a vine wrapped around itself. And this is like a. This is not a physical fanafood. It's not a medicinal fanafood. Just having this is supposed to give you incredible power over men or women. Or the intertwining of the twigs is like symbolic of love. These beads here correspond to many of the magic woods that are here. So
you mean they sort of symbolise them? They represent them?
Yeah, they do. The magic woods came before the beads. The beads arrived with North African traders, like maybe 9th century, something like that. And when they arrived in Madagascar, the ancestors made instant associations with each bead to an equivalent medicinal tree that grows here. So, for example, this is a bead called Mahavuri, which means togetherness, but like togetherness for a purpose. There's another one there. That one's called Panzaka Benitan, which is the king of the world. And that's a tree with a twisted growth pattern on it that they used to make magic wands from.
Magic wands?
Yeah, magic wands. Astrologers and other wise people carry long walking sticks made from the Panzaka Benitan wood. And on the end of them are bits of cow horn. Sometimes they say these magic wands, which are also called Panzaka Benitan, are as powerful as a rifle.
Amazing.
Mish Panzaka Benitan on bois?
Paddy's asking if they have a magic wand. And okay. The stall keeper has just produced this very heavy, dense piece of wood, a rather beautiful piece of wood.
It should be kept oiled in order to be powerful. So that's just a piece of the wood, and that's not a prepared magic wand. That's the stuff that magic wands are made from.
Yeah. jaweroa kusirira yulu ie siriri sairinu lanyawe ie msirisiri andua valanu Awi jawe rua kusirira yulo Iye siriri sairinu lanyawe Iye msirisiri andua valanu Iye mua pua ngatu mua kirihira nyawe Iye maninyul samanyantena Iye mani maninyulu saita nyawe Iye Apua ngatu mwakirira nyawe Iye maninyur samanyantena
Amsare pare para pura suruja mangayel mamara sarundu sarana kula ruma apakendisa Amsare pare para pura suruja mangayel mamara sarundu sarana kula ruma apakendisa
This is the group Ramtuanin, which consists of three men and four women. And the leader of the group is called Antoine Rakduval. He's a singer, he plays the drums as well. Tell me about this kind of choral singing that you do here in Finaradzu.
Nienarani Nfuoluani, Futra Niavien Hira Besileu, the Isha, Ansa, 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 Fa.
So what he was playing, the type of music he was playing, is called Zafndron, which is the roots of the music from Finaradzu, and it's a very old way of singing.
Do people in general sing in this way? Is this a professional style of music that just that your group does?
The way they were singing, that is the way, really traditionally, how it was sung. But he's saying that nowadays it has evolved a little bit. So when you listen to people singing Zafndron, they change it a little bit. But the way this particular group was singing, that is the real traditional way they used to sing.
So it's not been influenced by church music, for example?
When the missionary arrived, they took the sound and they just changed the words and introduced the Christian words of the song. They took the way they were singing and the whole way of Zafndron music.
How is it, Antoine, being a musician here in Finaradzu? Can you make a living? Is your music appreciated?
Yes, he's saying that people really appreciate his music, but they are very, very poor. He manages just about to make a living out of it. People really love it and appreciate it.
It's not a disappearing tradition. It's not going to die.
Yes.
So he's saying that it nearly disappeared, but he's sort of tried to revive it, and people really appreciate it. And also in order that it keeps, he's evolved it a little bit.
So please, everybody. So this style of harmony singing, Zafandron, I mean, basically it's your group, Antoine, that keeps this music alive.
He's saying that other groups are trying to sing the Zafandron, but he feels that it's not the real traditional Zafandron, and he's really making sure that the old roots, the real traditional way of doing the Zafandron, is not lost. That is what his group is doing.
You know, I can feel it in your music that you're very connected with the tradition. You're doing a fantastic job, and it's beautiful music, Antoine. Thank you so much. Misotra.
Thank you very much.
So it's about 5 o'clock in the evening and the sun is going down like a stone and throwing all this sideways light over the most fantastic mountainscape, with smoke from fires in the forest drifting across and just the incredible smells that come with it.
And then these valleys of rice fields surrounded by these mountains. It's really a majestic and extraordinary landscape. That's
where we're
south
going.
Facing.
Yeah, that's where we're going tomorrow.
So far we've been in the central highlands with these plateaus and mountain valleys. But I think we're going to be going into a really quite different scenario tomorrow, aren't we?
We're going to start descending from the high plateau. So a lot of the trees that are growing on the mountains around us here, they're highland-type trees. Some of them look a bit like Scotch pines, although they're not, the Malagasy equivalent. As we start going down, all the vegetation changes with it, and we'll start moving towards really tropical kind of palms and stuff that really doesn't look like highland trees at all. So I'm just taken away by the incredible light that's happening at the moment. There are the odd rays just illuminating the odd little traditional house down there, and it's like God is shining his torch.
Really beautiful. What an extraordinary country. And the landscape is going to change dramatically.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we'll be driving through thorn forests and cactus and...
desert?
Yeah, a bit of desert too.
Right up to the sea, to Tuléar?
Yes, we're going to go all the way to Tuléar, and the things that grow around there are amazing. There are whole hills covered in strange cactuses, and the vegetation changes without any kind of warning. You realise how local some areas really are, just by the way the vegetation is so, so different. Can you imagine being brought up around here, and sort of having this as, you know, part of your soul?
Yeah, but I bet life is really tough. As
oh,
well.
Yeah, it's tough, okay.
All these kids around us are all barefoot.
Yeah, they haven't got shoes on.
And yet this is the city or the town of learning.
Yeah, it is.
Just seem to be loads of kids everywhere. They say that half the population here is under the age of 20.
Yeah, it's a fast-growing country. Yeah, it's a young country, yeah, with a very, very quick-growing population. 2, 4, 6 local kids standing next to us, one of which is blowing down a piece of sugar cane. A natural pan pipe.
Piece called Veloma for two valises, and this is a very special performance. Like all the music in today's World Roots, we recorded it on location in Madagascar, and it's played by my two guides for that trip, Justin Vallée and Paddy Bush. We've been hearing from Paddy throughout today's programme. As well as a great expert on Madagascar and its music, he's also an instrument maker and, as you can hear, a great player. He's joined for the recording by my other guide, the Vallée maestro Justin Vallée. He and Paddy describe each other as brothers, and when we were planning the trip, Paddy insisted that our local guide must be Justin. I say local, but these days Justin lives in France, so we flew him to Madagascar and he introduced us to many of the greatest musicians on the island. This piece, Veloma, means farewell, and with Justin at the wheel, we bade farewell to Fiona Ranzu for the long drive south to Tuléar. We've been driving south for a couple of hours along a very windy and vertiginous road, really spectacular scenery. And it's changed dramatically with every turn. Just about 20 minutes ago, we turned into a park called Anja. It's underneath a gigantic boulder. And you wouldn't know that there was this very dense savanna forest underneath the boulder, but we've been brought into this forest because this is one of the places where we can see lemurs, which is surely one of the great wonders of Madagascar. And we've been brought to this place in the middle of the forest. We're looking at a whole family of lemurs. They are really stunning creatures, cross between cats and raccoons, and, you know, they're adorable, and they look as curious about us as we are about them. We just left the lemur park, and that was my first time to see these extraordinary animals. Justin, what is the lemur to you?
Oui, les lemuriens, c'est presque nos ancêtres, quoi, parce qu'on vit...
There's a very strong relation between the Malagasy people and the lemurians. And in a lot of ways, we look on the lemurs like our ancestors. Because originally, all the lemurs that lived around here, when they first saw human beings, they'd just run into the forest every time. But now things have changed, and now the people and the lemurs are almost living together in the same place.
And why are they like your ancestors? How are they related to your ancestors?
Yeah, because they were here before the people actually arrived. Therefore, we should respect them.
Before the settlers came back.
Yeah, before the enormous Austronesian migrations that brought people here. Because it's believed that 2,000 years ago, the island was practically uninhabited by people.
But the lemurs were here.
But the lemurs were here, definitely. And so Justin says that we should respect them. And that way we can all live together in harmony. And in fact, the lemurs are now helping us all to live because they attract the tourists and the money helps everybody live a much better life.
They are also an endangered species because of the forests being cut down here on the island.
Well, that's true. They are. The wonderful thing is that the Malagasy have come around to realising what a natural resource they are, and that by looking after the lemurs in turn will look after them.
But they need the forest to live in, and the forest is being cut down.
Well, it is a reality, yeah? But the kind of deforestation that's happening around here is being stopped. It's being controlled. It's not like the crazy stuff that's happening up in the northeast, where national parks are being plundered by enormous international concerns, where millions and millions of tons of rosewood are being cut from primary forest. This is forest that's been growing for millions of years, and it's being destroyed.
Well, that is really, really tragic.
And it's not so much to do with the Malagasy people, it's more to do with international...
interests.
Yeah, interests. I think that's the best way of putting it. I mean, it disgusts me. Huh? The Malagasy are burning small amounts of forest in order to be able to plant things to live. Right? This is a different thing. This is plundering the natural resources of the country. Here, this little lemur reserve, they were originally burning it to grow corn. When it was pointed out to them that if they stopped that and they let the lemurs live, things would become better for everybody. And that's exactly what they did. This little forest has only been going for 8 years. Before then, it was a corn plantation. And you can see even in 8 years, things have recovered so fast. It's wonderful.
That's a great story.
Il y a 300 lemuriens là-dedans. 304.
And there are 350 lemurs in that forest.
Oh. And... the forest, half the forest apparently, is made of the melia tree that gives the fruit that the lemurs live on.
Fabulous.
And it has a wonderful fragrance. Just going through that forest was like being in a forest of jasmine. It was wonderful.
Can you imagine what Madagascar must have been like before humans got here? It would have been like the Garden of Eden.
Yes, but you know, the humans who are here have really incredible music.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And just a startling variety in their music.
Yes, I mean, in many ways, the musical instrument and the musics of Madagascar are just like the animals of Madagascar. The music is equally as endangered. The musical instruments come from the forests that are equally endangered. And the lemurs, in some ways, are being looked after quite well. Mm. Huh?
And we have people like Justin Vallée, who's with us here, who's, you know, really carrying the torch for Malagasy music, both on the island and outside and around the world.
I'd say that Justin is the best-known Vallée player on the island. In fact, in the world.
Amazing sound is the sound of gravel being washed, gravel that's been pulled out of a crater about 25 meters deep with back-breaking work and washed in order to find sapphires. We're just outside a small boom town in this kind of desert part of Madagascar. The town is called Ilakaka. It's a town that exists entirely to sell sapphires. Paddy, quite a place. I didn't expect to see this at all.
Well, this is the civilized side of sapphire mining. Even though it's all being done by hand, with them cutting terraces down into these big open pits and using like a shovel conveyor belt to bring all the stuff up to the top, most of the sapphire mining that takes place in this area are like one, two-man, three-man operations that involve digging very dangerous pits and making their own ventilation with like great big plastic tubes to pipe air down to miners who are no more than children.
Well, we arranged this visit through the place where we've just been staying. They put us in touch with a guy called Mohammed, and he's been here for 10 years. And he says a lot of the sapphires that they mine go first to Geneva, but many of the sapphires in this that are found in these mines go straight to Bangkok. And yeah, it's a town where you see lots of non-Malagasies as well, Indians, Thais, Chinese.
Yes, Ilakaka has really changed the whole feeling of the south of Madagascar. In some ways, it's like looking at a vision of the Klondike or the Wild West. And you should see this place on a Friday night.
It rocks, huh?
It really, really rocks. The favourite music from around here is called tsapiki. It's wild, fantastic electric guitar music, all in 4/4 time. In fact, sometimes they mount those old, you know, like the Leslie speaker cabinets that rotate, that they used to use for Hammond organs. They mount those on top of cars, and then the music spins round and round in a circle and mixes with the huge quantities of rum that people drink here to give a feeling of over-intoxication. I've seen films shot here by the French of just wild, wild mining parties with people completely out of their brains, and what's worse, they've all got guns, and at some point they have this desire to shoot them into the air, and it's a kind of bizarre, dangerous mixture of all kinds of things.
Well, fast bucks and very, very back-breaking work.
Sapphire mining has really changed the complexion of Madagascar. You know those lovely cloths that you see people wearing here, the lambas, the lambawani? Normally they're covered in lots of decoration, and each one of them has a little proverb written on them. And normally these proverbs are to do with the wisdom of the ancestors. They're little sayings that have been going for hundreds of years. And just after the sapphire mining started in Ilakaka, I found a lambawani that had a picture of a four-wheel drive car on it, picture of a house, loads and loads of banknotes. And the proverb on it was, "Sapphires make me millions." Now, that's quite a contrast to the way things used to be.
Ilakaka was our penultimate stop on the journey south. And next week on World Roots, I'll be in the sleepy seaside town of Toulear, getting to know this instrument. Unique to the south of Madagascar and called the marouvan, it's related to the vali, the zither, after which Justin Vali, one of my guides, is named. I'll also be meeting the musician, wrestler and magician Madindri, and taking a small boat to the remote community of Anakau, where I meet a group who play mandolins stringed with fishing line, and we have to kill a goat in order to visit the grave of renowned local musician Robert Rindy. Join me if you can.
World Roots in Madagascar was presented by Lucy Duran with Paddy Bush. The producer was James Parkin. You can hear the final Madagascan chapter next week at the same time, 10 o'clock, here on BBC Radio 3.
BBC 4 and BBC Radio 3 are celebrating great British music. Some of it by familiar names, some less well known. For BBC Radio 3's Saturday Classics, Simon Heffer brings us piano music by Alan Rawsthorne, orchestral works by Britten, Bax, Holst and Delius, and Constant Lambert's ballet score Prize Fight. A feast of British music in Saturday Classics on BBC Radio 3 from 3 o'clock.
A quick look ahead to what's in store for us tomorrow morning. Petroc Trelawney will be here at 6:30. That's the start of his 2 weeks in charge of breakfast. And after that, Rob Cowan introduces us to more essential classics. The Hagen Quartet are his artists of the week, and he's also joined each day by the explorer Benedict Allen, who'll be talking about his essential pieces of classical music. Breakfast at 6:30 and essential classics at 9:00. Here on BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's 11 o'clock, time now for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello that's the music of Jamaican-born saxophonist Joe Harriott, one of the key players from the landscape of the UK's jazz scene during the 1950s and 60s. And stay tuned for a profile on Joe Harriott's music later on in the show, in the company of author Alan Robertson. Also on today's show, concert music from this artist. The Canterbury-based trio of David Rees-Williams, and we'll be hearing more from them a little later on in the show. Plus, I'm pleased to say that I'm joined by journalist and fellow jazz lineup presenter Kevin Legendre, and we are taking a look ahead at some of the new exciting releases coming out in 2012. So, Kevin, what can we expect?
Three very different releases, which give us a nice little cross-section of possible highlights for the year. So we've got Particle, the Neil Cowley Trio, and Gregory Porter.
Well, let's start things off with Gregory Porter. The Brooklyn-based singer's new single is called Be Good. He played the Jazz Voice concert at the London Jazz Festival last year and a late-night set at Ronnie's for Jazz on 3, and was a charming interviewee when we met late last year. So here he is with Be Good.
Be good is her name, and I sing my lion song and brush my mane. She would, and she could, so she pulled my lion's tail and caused me pain. Said lions are made for cages, just to look at in delight. You dare not let them walk around, 'cause they might just bite. She knows what she does when she dances round my cage and says her name. Be good, be good. Is her name. I trim my lion's claws and I cut my mane, and I would if I could, but that woman treats me the same. She to look at in delight. You dare not let them walk around, 'cause they might just bite. Does she know what she does when she dances around my cage? Be good is her. Trim my lion's claws and I cut my mane, and I would if I could, but be good treats me the same. She said lions are made for cages, just a look out in delight. You dare not let them walk around, 'cause they might just bite. Does she know what she does when she dances around my cage? She dances around my cage. Does she know
Gregory Porter and Be Good, his new single out now. Do you like that, Kevin?
Love it.
Big fan of his?
Massive fan. Hugely charismatic guy, as well as a very gifted singer. And also, I think, a great writer as well. Really good with lyrics.
Yeah, he really does seem to have it all. Do you think that this year, 2012, is going to be his year, I guess?
Very possibly. Certainly the momentum built up from the last release, if that keeps going, and I suppose he just does more and more high-profile gigs, then yeah, it could be very good.
Because he's been going quite a while. He deserves it. He's put the work in.
I think one of the reasons why he's so good is because he spent many years doing theatre. So his stage presence and his ease and his comfort on stage in front of an audience really comes through.
Well, good luck to him for this year, because he deserves all good things. And his new album is out on February the 13th. It's also titled Be Good. And you can be up close and see this charisma at the Pizza Express in Dean Street in Soho on the 12th and 13th of February. Well, now here's an early sneak preview of the new Troika album, Rarebit. It's out in March on Edition Records. But this track shows quite a square pusher, a.k.a. Tom Jenkins' influence on the trio, who combined jazz improvisation with rock dynamics and effects. Chris Montague is on guitar with Kit Downs on organ, and Joshua Blackmore is playing the drums. This is the title track, Rarebit.